This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers.
Score!
The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah. Right back at it on The Fan. Joining us right now, so we can talk hockey, a little puck talk with Jonathan Davis, NHL analyst from VSiN. He's out west at West Coast Hockey, so it's 7 p.m. out where you are, John. What's up, man?
Oh, man. You know, it's raining out here, and we pay a sun tax, so I think we need a little bit of a rebate. It's not right. It's not, I mean, look, I grew up in Toronto. I'm used to bad, like, cooler weather, rain, but not supposed to happen here in SoCal.
Where are you at exactly?
Manhattan Beach.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you guys are spoiled. You get enough weather days out there. You can't really.
We sure do. No. And no one would listen. No violence going through.
Well, John, you want the good news or you want the bad news first?
Let's go bad. That way we can only go up from here.
Well, the Rangers, after the run that they had last year where people were thinking they could win the Stanley Cup, get to the Stanley Cup and did not. I mean, they just dropped their third game in a row and they're looking to sell. And there's talk about Chris Kreider, who's a hero, who's a lot of guys' favorite player, him being available. I mean, we already heard all the rumblings about Jacob Trouba over the offseason. The bad news is, I mean, the Rangers are loved in New York City, and this might be the end of their run, but it's early. What do you think about everything that's going on with this group?
All right, well, yeah, lots to digest. I mean, I almost wonder if the Kreider rumors are just fugazi. I wonder if this is something where Peter Laviolette, Chris Drury goes to Kreider and says, look, we need to do something to wake up this group. I don't see the Rangers making that deal. Maybe I'm wrong. I just wonder if this is the story that's been planted to just kind of wake some guys up. The Trouba thing, obviously, you know, has more teeth, but this is a guy that controls his destiny. So it's a tough contract to move. The Rangers as a whole, I mean, it shouldn't be overly surprising, strictly from the standpoint that this is the track record for Peter Laviolette coach teams in year number two. They always regress. No matter where he's gone, his second full season, whether it's been Nashville, whether it's been Carolina, whether it's been the Islanders, year two, there's been a drop-off. So I'm not surprised. Now, look, the record's still really good, but I'm not surprised, you know, for them to take a step back this year. in any way, I'm not overly shocked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Rangers fans are just expecting this team. They've been so good, and they've been so dominant, and they've gone on runs. They're just expecting this team to continue where they left off last year. And I say it's early. The trade deadline isn't until March 7th. But yeah. I know, obviously, it's the deadline, and moves could be made. What do you suggest from what you've seen out of the Rangers? What do they need? What should they be looking for to improve versus, like, who they need to get rid of or smoke screens, or who they need to pretend like they're going to sell?
Well, I mean, look, they tried, you know, they tried to add some offense to the team. I mean, look, it's been a lineup that's been very top-heavy. But, you know, I think you kind of have to look from within right now. I mean, Mika Zibanejad has struggled. Vincent Trocheck's off to, you know, he's on a pace right now. I think it's 40 points he'd be on pace for. That's his lowest number since his last season in Carolina. So some of the guys that they were counting on who've had good years before, I mean, like last year watching that line with Trocheck, Panarin, and Lafreniere, especially in the playoffs, I mean, that was the best. They were dominant. I mean, Trocheck was playing at an MVP pace last year in the playoffs, but it's not happening right now. They hope that Riley Smith could be that guy that he was in Vegas, not the guy he was in Pittsburgh. He's been closer to the guy that he was in Pittsburgh. I mean, hey, the idea was that he was going to play with Kreider and Zibanejad. He was going to be that missing piece. It hasn't worked out. So I think some of the issues are from within. And, you know, look, the blue line for the Rangers, it's been Adam Fox has won a Norris Trophy, but to me, Adam Fox is more of an Erik Karlsson type player and not a shutdown guy. So, you know, the Rangers have found different ways to be successful. I'm not sure what the next, you know, what that move is right now, but I think Chris Drury's going to make a move. I do believe he will do something. I just don't know. It may be a little tricky, especially if you want to move Trouba and just because of his contract situation.
Okay, one more on the Rangers. How do you feel about Matt Rempe? There's a lot of conversation always around him. I mean, for mostly bad reasons, but he was here today, gone tomorrow. They just called him up to start some trouble, sent him right back to Hartford. How do you feel about Matt Rempe in year two?
Well, I mean, it's been, he's been, you know, it was a sideshow last year. And then, you know, he started to, you know, he did some good things on the ice. We can, you know, and then, you know, what we saw last night was just, it was just a bad look. It was so unnecessary. And it's, you know, I'm afraid that if he stays on this course, because he was playing well, from my understanding, down in the AHL. But last night it was just something unnecessary. And if he keeps this up, he's going to play himself out of the NHL. So this is a guy that you know, the Rangers were playing a couple of minutes a night. It's just not worth it to me unless Rempe decides to change his way. And right now, you know, with the way things are going with New York, they just the Rangers can't afford to have a distraction right now in Matt Rempe in the type of distraction he's become.
We're on the phone right now with Jonathan Davis. He's an NHL analyst for VSiN. I said one more for the Rangers. I was going to use Matt Rempe to segue into my Devils because I know my Devils fans listening, we don't have any love for Matt Rempe. But Paul is a Rangers fan. He's like, let me get one in. So, Paul, go ahead and ask Jonathan your question.
Yeah, John, is there any chance already that the Rangers are starting to tune Laviolette out?
Well, you know, that's kind of the point that I, you know, was trying to get, you know, is make at the beginning. I mean, year two is always a, you know, is a year where the teams fall off. Peter Laviolette is a, you know, he's very demanding. And that personality, you know, can kind of wear on people. It's not much different than the way Bruce Cassidy is in Vegas. These guys can, you know, can grind on you. Now Cassidy, you know, he's been able to get through things because he went to Stanley Cup in his first year. And while Laviolette has, you know, Stanley Cup pedigree, he hasn't done it in New York. And yeah, I do wonder if some of that is happening right now. But I think, you know, maybe, you know, they get a couple of days off here. He's also had a brutal schedule, guys. I mean, you take a look at what, you know, they go way on the West Coast for three, you come home for one, and then you got to go back out for two. Like, they're not the only team that's had to go through this. So I think that, you know, having a couple of days off here before they get back on the ice, you know, may help the cause. But Yeah, look, Peter Laviolette can grade on you, no question.
Yeah, just because that's his, obviously, and you know this, that's been his history, whether it's with, you know, the Caps, the Predators, whatever, the Flyers. I mean, it's 2 or 3 years, and then the players just can't deal with it anymore, and then they move on and whatever. Now, the good part about that is that they turn out to be very, very good teams under Laviolette because he's obviously a good coach, but you wonder if this core is already starting to be like, all right, get rid of this guy, a younger guy, and maybe that's a Michael Peck or whatever, but still, like, something along those lines.
I don't know if it's necessarily a younger guy. It's just a different. It's just a different voice, and you know, maybe they need a little hand holding right now, as opposed to, you know, look, coaches will tell you. Most coaches will tell you that they'll be hardest on players when things are going well, because they're going to respond a lot better than when things are going bad and you're being, you know, a hard ass. I don't know. I don't necessarily think we're at the point right now where it's a change from behind the bench. I think it's really, you know, like I said, Vincent Trocheck has been such a key part of this team the last 2 years. You know, him being on a 40-point pace is not helping the situation.
Again, right now, my guest is Jonathan Davis, NHL analyst from VSiN. I have to let the audience know right now, if you're listening to 101.9 FM and the Odyssey app, keep it locked here for my show until 12. But if you're on 660, you will hear the call of the Rutgers-Notre Dame basketball game that's coming your way right now in the next couple of minutes. So stay here if you want to continue with this conversation. Jonathan, you stay here. Back to what I was saying about Matt Rempe. It's on site when Matt Rempe faces the Devils. We still got a bone to pick with him. I don't think we'll be seeing him next Monday or this upcoming Monday when the Devils hit Madison Square Garden. But I'm looking at the Devils like this right now. I'm saying they're approaching wagon status. They are absolutely rolling. They have a win streak going, and I mean, last night at home was just amazing. People were saying it was playoff atmosphere. Mr. Devil himself said he hasn't heard that place get as loud as it got at the end of that penalty kill in the third period. You get a, you know, natural hat trick from the captain, Nico Hischier. They're wearing their, you know, New Jersey jerseys that or sweaters that say Jersey across the front. Yeah. It's just like everything's going right.
Sweaters. One of the best sweaters.
Yeah, it is awesome. I think you've seen UNLV tried to copy it, the college hockey team. But anyway, I'm a Devils fan. This is now my fourth season rocking with the Devils. I didn't grow up on hockey. No one put me on. I wish, because then I would have seen the Devils when they were actually winning. I would have been able to see Marty Brodeur play live. But either way, I'm here now. What can you say about the Devils goalie? Let's start there, Jacob Markstrom, and what he's been able to do early on. I know it's early on, but, I mean, I can notice already the difference he's made.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you know, I think there was a bit of a hiccup early in the year. There were some rough games. But, you know, look, what was the big question for New Jersey last year? It was defense and goaltending. And, you know, from where I sit here out in L.A., like, Tom Fitzgerald did Lindy Ruff no favors last year. I mean, he cost Lindy Ruff his job by the fact that they never replaced what they lost on the back end and never solved their goaltending issue. But he did a great job in the summer. And now, you know, you've got a Devils team that was 28th, I believe, last year in goals against, and they're sixth right now. And yes, you've got a guy like Markstrom who I think, you know, has started to settle in. You've got a decor that, you know, as deep as anybody. I mean, with Hamilton, I love the addition of Brendan Dillon, Brett Pesce, but I mean, the guy that may have been the best pickup is someone that no one expected, and that's Jonathan Kovacevic who was in Montreal last. I mean, this guy's been a stalwart for New Jersey. So they've solved their issues from last year. I felt, look, that they were a team that resembled more of the team that had 100 points 2 seasons ago. I mean, I bet the Devils in the offseason, I got them at 22-1 to win the cup. That number quickly evaporated. You know, I did that, I think, right around, free agent frenzy time. I love the coach. I'm a big Sheldon Keefe fan. And I'm sure that, you know, I got to believe that he's salivating with the types of players that he's got on this roster. So I think it's a very well-built team. They learned their lesson from 2 years ago. I think they're heading in the right direction for sure. Yeah, last night was a lot of fun. And you know, Timo Meier gets suspended last night. I don't mind that. I think, hey, look, when your best players are getting PO'd. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. I think it just shows that they care. Look, I watch a team here in Los Angeles night in and night out. They just got steamrolled by San Jose for the second time in a month. There's no identity there. The Devils have an identity, and it's great to – they're a great watch.
Woo! Yeah, sorry, you're getting me fired up because it is an identity now. It's an identity change. It's an identity shift. You know, they got punked a lot last year. Speaking of the Rangers, like the Rangers swept them last year and they bullied them. Now, you know, when you see a cross-check like that last night with Timo, it's like they're standing on business. Like they're standing up for themselves. They're fighting and they're protecting home ice. So it just gives you this feeling of like, you know, the place was packed. It was at capacity on a Monday night because Devils fans are itching for this team to be consistently competitive and get back to the glory days like they had. And 2 years ago, we got a taste. And last year was such a disappointment. But then you look at this group with Jack Hughes, Luke Hughes, having Dougie Hamilton back, having Nico Hischier, Jesper Bratt, Timo Meier. Like, now these guys have been skating together for a while. You add some you know, you bring Tomas Tatar back. You add some defenders. You add some, you know, just more some, like, beef on the team, some muscle on the team.
And well,
you
get Brendan Dillon's a guy.
Brendan Dillon.
Come playoff time, like, that's a guy that you want in the lineup. And, I mean, that fight that he had in Florida, what was it?
Yeah.
The interview that he did on TNT after the game that night where he said he stopped counting at 20 punches.
they sent a message. Know. I was in Mexico watching that in Espanol. Man, the Devils going to beat the Panthers like that, back-to-back games like that. It's like, that's the best team, right? That's the team holding the cup.
Yeah, no question. And Florida's scuffling right now. But at that time, they were on a roll. New Jersey had just come off, you know, a loss to the San Jose Sharks. By the way, here's something, being at VSiN and you know, a sports betting network, the after losing to San Jose this year, teams are 6-1 in their 5-1 in their next game.
Why is that? Is it?
Well, I think it's because you're pissed off about losing to one of the worst teams in the league. It's the same thing.
Yeah, the Devils lost 1-0, so it's like they
right.
Yeah,
and they got beat by their former goalie who stood on his head that night.
It was a first period goal, and they couldn't get anything else. Pat, yep.
That was a fun game. That was, I mean, not from the Devils' perspective, but you know that. Yeah, that was a fun game. So, no, I do. I really like the way this roster has been constructed. You know, last year to me, I don't even look at last year because for me, that was a year that, you know, GM Tom Fitzgerald decided I'm not going to rebuild the team. For whatever reason he chose last year, he decided I'm not rebuilding the team, and it showed. They did. If you don't have a goalie, like, you know, Alain Vigneault, the former Ranger coach, always used to say, your goalie's better than mine, you win. My goalie's better than yours, I win. And there were way too many nights where, you know, you would go up against the Devils and whoever it was in net for the other team had the better goalie.
Okay, last question for you. For the Islanders fans, the Icelanders fans, I was just talking to Pat Boyle who did the update. He's an Icelanders fan. And I'm like, why do I always get this feeling that the Islanders are going to blow it? Granted, I'm new to watching hockey. I just picked it up the last couple years. I watch all the Devils games. But with the Islanders, they'll have a lead. They blow it. They'll be up in the standings, and they blow it. It's like it's almost like always too good to be true with them. They made some changes last year. I don't think their fans look at them right now like where they want to be. What's their trajectory? Where can we expect out of the Long Island or, you know, the New York Islanders out in Long Island?
Mediocrity at best. I mean, it, you know, they're a team like, I mean, I'm watching, I got four TVs set up in the man cave. Unless the Islanders are playing somebody really good, there's no way. They are not a very enjoyable team to watch. They're a team, like, look, last year they played 26 overtime games or games that went to overtime or a shootout. This year they've played 8 already. It's like a team that just tries to find a way to earn a point, at least 1 point on most nights. They're missing Matt Barzal. That's significant for them. Patrick Waugh is doing his best to try to get these, you know, this team, you know, to play more to a style that he would like. But, you know, when you look at that roster, I mean, it's just not, it's not a really, it's not a deep roster whatsoever. And so, yeah, it's a very frustrating, it's not an exciting team to watch. I mean, it's not the Rangers. They really are the third child here. And I just don't see where, like, for me, it's time for Lou Lamoriello to move on. And I think that, you know, when he signed Pierre Engvall 2 years ago to a 6-year deal, like, I asked some people in the business about that. And one respected person told me Engvall had no other offers. Like, when he got the call from Lou, he grabbed a Sharpie and, you know, as fast as he could, he signed that contract. I mean, it just didn't make sense to give a guy like Engvall a 6-year deal. And so look, they got two really good goalies for sure. But beyond that, I mean, it's just, you're hoping as an Islander fan that your team's going to score a goal. You're not expecting. Yeah, you've got guys like Brock Nelson and Anders Lee. I mean, Kyle Palmieri's at 30, but they just seem to play not to lose as opposed to playing to win. And what it's now, it's 4-5 and 6-8, I think, that they've lost right now. And like I said, and three of those games have gone to overtime. They've lost all three of them, but they found a way to get a point. So they're able to stay relevant, but, you know, you just don't want to be in that mushy middle, and that's where they're going to end up being. They're either going to be, you know, that second wild card team, or they're just going to miss, and that's not going to help them try to rebuild.
Well, they've got a nice brand new arena over there. I got to get out there and see that place.
Yes, they do. No, they do. They do. They've got an owner who's willing to spend, but I just don't know what they're doing out there, because it was to me, a very disappointing offseason if you're an Islanders fan. And, you know, right now they've got Boston, Washington, and Buffalo on the table. And I'm not sure where they're going to get that win, because Buffalo's playing really well. The Caps, even without Ovechkin, man, they did a job on Florida last night. Boston, it would be the team that's vulnerable, and they're going to get them on the back end of a back-to-back. So that's a game that if you're the Islanders, you've got to jump on that Boston team right away, like, and step on them. Because Boston had a tough loss tonight, badly outshooting Vancouver, and they're not scoring under Joe Sacco, the new head coach. I think it's, what, now three goals in three games under Joe Sacco, three goals in three games the Bruins have scored under the new coach. Not giving up goals, but they're not scoring. So I think we're going to see overtime again tomorrow night.
Oh, while I have you, this is in my notes to talk about, and it's hockey too.
Paul Bissonnette, yeah, Biznasty.
Yeah, I'm reading about the fight that he got into. You hear anything about that? Now these guys' mugshots are posted, six guys out there in Arizona. They got into a little brouhaha with him?
Yeah, he addressed it on Twitter or X earlier today. He was at, I think, at a local restaurant in the Arizona area where he goes to quite frequently. And one of the guys, very drunk, was, I don't know, who he was having a discussion with, grabbed someone who worked at the restaurant. I don't know if it was the host or waiter or whatever, manager. But Paul Bissonnette went up to the guy and said, look, you better take your hands off him or this is not going to end very well. And, some punches through and were thrown, and it went out into a parking lot. He ended up having six guys, or I think he said seven guys. It was 7-on-1, but, man, Biz was pretty tough in his day.
From what I'm seeing, he held his own. It took some, gave more, and people online were basically laughing about, like, you know, these guys that ended up getting arrested in that and taking on the wrong guy. These hockey dudes are tough. That's one thing I'll say, John. I grew up playing football, thinking football was the tough guy sport, and then I started going to Devils games and seeing hockey up close, and I'm like, yo, time out. Like, that guy's hurt, and these guys don't get, there's no blue tents. There's no medical attention. They just keep skating or go over to the side, just put their leg up over the wall. I'm like, this is the tough guy sport.
Yeah, now there's more concussion protocol these days than there was in years past. But, yeah, I mean, especially come playoff time, You know, unless you're dead, you're playing. It doesn't matter what the injury is.
Yeah, and that too, they just say upper body, lower body. They don't really tell you exactly what it is.
Yeah, no. To see what's gone on with some of these guys. I mean, look, it happens in football, but yeah, no, these guys, they're warriors, and for them to have their name on the Stanley Cup, it means more than a paycheck.
Awesome. We'll end it there. Jonathan, you're the man. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Anytime. Take care. Thanks for having me.
That's Jonathan Davis. Look him up at West Coast Hockey, hockey spelled HKY on Twitter. He's an NHL analyst for VSiN. Obviously, you guys just heard him help me out with some puck talk. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I remember when I first started 4 years ago, I kept it a buck with y'all. I kept it a bean. I said, I didn't grow up watching hockey. I'm a black dude. There's nobody watching hockey. No one really even watching baseball around me. I came into baseball on my own. I came into hockey on my own. And now I'm bringing hockey conversations to the Fan. And I've been doing that pretty consistently over the last now 4 years we're going on here. I just think there's a lot of hockey fans in this area with three hockey teams. I have grown to appreciate the sport and learn more. Like, I'm even able to, like, tell my wife why.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, this is a special time right now with the Devils. And, you know, I wasn't always on this.
Your official station to talk New York Yankees.
Talking about looking at Soto's numbers on Baseball Reference. I was literally doing it when you said it. I've been saying all year, he's kind of like Bobby Abreu.
The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Yeah. Still here. Rolling. We've got an hour and some change to go tonight on the Fan, and then C-Mac is coming up next. Oh, wait, no. It's a holiday week, so it's different now. Who's on after me? My bad. Al Cintron. You'll probably hear a bunch of different people throughout the next few days and weeks as we get to Christmas, but that's okay. Shout out to Al Cintron. I haven't listened to Al in a while, so I'll be listening tonight, Al. I'll take it easy with the Juan Soto talk. And I don't know about your Commanders. Your Commanders took a tough L, my boy. I know you had to be somewhere like, nah, no way. That fourth quarter was insane. All right, here we go. Back to the phone calls. 888-808-1019.
The Commanders.
Just the fact that they're named the Commanders is a joke. Richard is in Manhattan. Richard, you're on the Fan.
Keith, who would have thought with 30% of the NHL season done, 30%, the Devils would be in second place in points in the whole NHL? That's unbelievable. They have just as good a shot as anybody in the NHL to win.
It's just too early. It's great. It's been great to watch. I just want them to cool off so that they can get hot again when it matters the most. But, yeah, who would have thought?
That's fantastic. The NFL is positioned great. Look at all the different storylines. In the AFC, you got Buffalo, never won it. Houston, outside chance. Pittsburgh, that would be a miracle if they won it. And Baltimore, this is their time. They should win it. And then the outside chances, the Chargers, outside. Now, What about Kansas, anyone but Kansas City in the AFC. I don't want to see Kansas City there. That's the only team. But all these other teams, it would be a pleasure to see them in the Super Bowl. The NFC, Keith, you got Philly with Saquon. Ordinarily, I would hate Philly. But with Saquon there, what are you kidding? And then you got Detroit, Minnesota, and Green Bay. So you got a lot of teams. All of those are storylines. Imagine Green Bay in the Super Bowl. Detroit, you know, that would be fantastic. Minnesota would be another great thing. There's so many great storylines in the NFL this year. And most of these teams have never won a Super Bowl, or a lot of them haven't won. So it would be great. And one last thing, Keith, one thing that's flying under the radar in New York with all the Nick talk is how well the Nets are playing under this coach Fernandez. This guy's got – he's doing some – I never heard of him, never knew who he was. Even the games that they have lost, they have all been close.
Yep.
They have not been out of any game. They are competitive. I mean, I don't want to say nothing negative about Jacques Vaughn, but, you know, they've
you
had
– all noticed the difference. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, Steve Nash. I mean, since Kenny Atkinson, this guy is a second coming of Kenny Atkinson. So this is great for New York with Brooklyn doing. I just want to see them sneak into the playoffs. I'm a little scared of the Knicks because they're not playing defense. These video game scores that they're producing, you know, their starting five is averaging over 100 points a game. Last night they had 119 starting five. I mean, this has never happened in the history of the Knicks, Keith. Never. I've been not even with Frazier, Reed, DeBusschere, Bradley, and Barnett. Never. They never. And then Monroe came later. They never averaged points like this. But this is the new NBA. But, you know, you know and I know when the playoffs come, it's defense that wins. So
sure. This
is a little unnerving. But hopefully Mitchell Robinson will get back soon. And, you know, we really miss Hartenstein. We really miss that guy more than anything. So it's going to be tough because I don't think we can just outscore teams. But it's fun watching them. Keith, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Richard. Yeah, a few good points there. I think the Devils hype was more around 2023. Obviously, we know what happened in 2022 or last season. You know how it is with winter sports ending the year into the year. The Devils were actually ranked, and I remember bringing this up a lot, that like Bleacher Report Open Ice had them at the number two team after they lost to the Hurricanes in the second round of the playoffs. And then, you know, they laid an egg last year, didn't even make the playoffs. They had injuries and some scandal and some other things go on. And obviously, you know, fire Lindy Chance early on in the season, whatever. But to come out like this year, it's not so much of a surprise for Devils fans. I think Devils fans were looking at the additions and looking at the goalie and looking at the health of the team and the core of the team that has played a ton of games together, saying they this could work under Sheldon Keefe, getting him there. Like, I think Devils fans are not surprised, but maybe other folks are. Now, going to the NFL has parity. The NFL is king. And that's why I came back from a break like an hour ago, and I was like, man, as much as we love the NFL, as much as we have wasted hundreds of thousands of dollars more, I mean, New York and New Jersey, billions of dollars on parlays and betting the NFL every Sunday, as many fantasy teams as we've had. I've got three leagues. Shout out to Carlos who just hit me and was saying, I was like, people don't care about your fantasy team. He's like, I care. And I'm like, yeah, people in three fantasy leagues care to talk about other fantasy leagues. He's like, I'm in six. Like, as much as we love fantasy football, as much as we love tailgating, like, that's all you really get with the Jets and Giants right now, a good tailgate. Then you go in there and you want to leave as soon as the game starts. But around the league, the storylines around the league are crazy. Like, we could see a Bills-Lions Super Bowl. But, you know, it's not going to be that simple. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to get hot. Somebody's going to go on a run. Hopefully it's not the Chiefs. I was going to say the Chiefs will still be there. They're 10-1, and they find a way to win anyway. Like, it doesn't matter how they get a win. They just find a way. You know, they can go to overtime with the Panthers and win the game. They can win off a field goal block. When you're looking at the AFC, yeah, it probably is the Bills, the Chiefs. I wouldn't put the Chargers in there. Whoever comes, I think the Ravens more so than the Steelers because they have Lamar, they have Derrick Henry. The Colts are not what we thought they were going to be this year. I thought they were a Super Bowl team this year. They've cooled off. And the NFC, it's the Lions, it's the Eagles. The West is weird because the Rams are not what they were supposed to be. Maybe because they had all that nonsense go on with Brandon Ayuk, with guys holding out in the offseason. And here comes the Seattle Seahawks knocking off the Cardinals, who were in first place. I don't think they have a legitimate team that can make a run at it. But when you look at the NFC North, I mean, they've got three teams that can make a run out of it. The Lions, the Vikings, the Packers. And then the South, we don't really take that serious either. But the Falcons, I don't know. You know, they have some pieces. But I ultimately think this year we're going to get a Super Bowl with two teams that we just haven't seen there or don't get to see there a lot. And it's going to be in New Orleans, and Kendrick Lamar is going to perform. It's going to be different. So, yeah. And last but not least from Richard's call, we haven't really talked too much about the Knicks or the Nets. Jordy Fernandez is a hire that they made that I think they're making, hoping that this guy is here for the future, right? When you talk about Kenny Atkinson, who's doing well with the Cleveland Cavaliers, like, Kenny Atkinson was a guy that made something out of nothing. He was a guy that took, you know, kind of some misfit toys, put them together, and made a team that was fun and attractive, and ultimately they, you know, had to blow that up when they got the superstars. I hope that the Nets don't go that route again. They did it years ago with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. They did it again with KD, Kyrie, James Harden. I hope that they don't trade their guys away, their homegrown guys away, for superstars. Just see where it goes. I'm so pleased with this team. I am not a tank guy. There are a ton of Nets fans that are like, what are they doing? There's so many good players coming up in the draft. It's not like football where, like, you can line up a quarterback and say that fits a need. You know, we're about to lose games and get the quarterback, or, you know, we need an edge rusher, or we need an offensive tackle. In basketball, it's like, I don't know, so many of these guys get drafted high and you never hear from them again. So many of these guys get drafted high. Like, look at James Wiseman. Like, there's always some guys that get drafted and they're supposed to be something and then they're not. You just got to try and win games. And the Nets have a history of going to the playoffs. I think that this team could compete and end up being in the playoffs. And the Knicks, with all of the hype around the Knicks, with all of the fanfare around the Knicks, you have to put on a show in the middle of Manhattan, Madison Square Garden. So making the move to get Karl-Anthony Towns, before that making the move to get Mikal Bridges, and having a team that can just outscore teams, I think you also went to put that team together because who are you gunning for? The Boston Celtics. And on any given night, they have a bunch of guys that can run it up, and you're trying to keep pace with them. So now it's wide open for all conversations. Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, Tommy DeVito, and the Giants taking on the Dallas Cowboys Thanksgiving Day. The Jets getting back on the field against the Seattle Seahawks. Aaron Rodgers coming out today and, you know, pouring water on the reports of Diana Russini and saying that he does want to stay here in New York and maybe on the other side of New York. And now we've mixed in the Devils, the Rangers, the Knicks, the Nets, and, of course, it's always time to talk about Juan Soto. So let's take this break. When we come back, I'm taking straight phone calls all the rest of the way. We got Casamigos' big shot of the night at 11. Open mic time the rest of the way. Keep McPherson on the Fan right back after
that. Your official station to talk Giants.
You know, in practice, Vito is real. He's a playmaker, talented. Kind of reminds me of, like, a Johnny Manziel.
The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So I'm sitting here thinking, right, as I actually take a seat, Keith McPherson on the Fan. I have this, like, stand-up desk in here that I forgot I had for a while because it collapses. You can fold it, and I put it under the desk. I think where I sit is where Sal sits, where Tiki sits. So if you guys ever want to use it, you guys can. But my lower back tightened up on me. I've been having lower back issues since I flew back from Mexico, and I won't do this again. My baby, he's like 30 pounds now. He's huge. He's not even a baby anymore. Like, he's too big to, like, share a seat with me or my wife and I. But, like, the way that I was crammed in the seat just messed up my back. Shout out to Dr. Bill, my chiropractor. Helped me out. But, like, now I'm just very, like, cognizant. I'm just thinking about my back. I'm getting older. Father Time is undefeated. And I started having conversations with different people and thinking, and I'm like, man, I never had these back issues when I was in the gym consistently, when I had stronger abs, when I had a more defined six-pack, when my core was stronger, it's connected. And I'm like, when did that change? And I know now we're coming up on 5 years since the pandemic, but like, I used to be in the gym, a member of the gym, going to the gym every morning. This is way before I did WFAN. This is like when I was working a corporate job where I had to be there at 9:30, 10 in the morning, where the first thing I would do is go to the gym that I had access to, whether it was the membership or in my apartment building. But then the pandemic put us out of gyms. And there's only so many push-ups you can do. There's only so many like YouTube workouts you could do. I remember I got a bench and dumbbells, but it's not the same as being in a gym. And that's where I really lost my like actual strength. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Another holiday season, Thanksgiving, where everybody's going to stuff their face. It's just what we do. You're going to drink. A lot of you drinking on Thanksgiving Eve tomorrow night. And then you'll roll into Christmas and we'll have these holiday parties with drinks and desserts and hams and turkeys and pies and I don't know. I'm trying to get ahead of the New Year's resolution and I'm trying to like get back in the gym, but I just like had the recent correlation of like my lower back issues are connected to my core not being as strong, and my core not being as strong is from me not being in the gym consistently. But what I have to do is like find a consistent time to lift at the gym in my apartment complex and just stick to it and almost schedule it like a calendar event, like a Zoom meeting, like, you know, like a business call. Like, okay, this is the time in the gym and I think I could get back and I'm in shape, but I'll never be in the shape that I was in. And now that, you know, Father Time is catching up to me and I do have a son, I'm like, I don't want to have these aches and pains as I'm getting older. You know, for reference, I'll be 50 when my son is 15. And when I'm 50, I want my son to be able to, you know, play football with me, play baseball with me, hoop in the front yard. So I got a long ways to go, but I gotta stay in shape. And like part of it is my lower back. And I was in here the last segment like standing up, and I'm like, I said to Paulie, I'm like, it's been a minute since I broke out the stand-up desk. I gotta do that more, because sitting here for 5 hours crouched over like this, that certainly doesn't help. And I know I have some stuff out here too. I have like some push-up bars and I have like the ab roller. I gotta use that too. What's your regimen? You get on air, you talk about what desserts you like, ice creams, what place.
Okay, all right. Now we're attacking people?
I'm just saying, I was about to ask what your workout plan is like.
Workout regimen.
What your diet is like, but then I think about your shows you get on and you talk about food. You tell people to come through with their food recommendations.
Absolutely. Previewing your Thanksgiving meal is going to be a big part of my show on Thursday morning. You think sports is going to be involved? Are you crazy? No, I don't have a workout regimen. I should be 300 pounds. I'm not. I have dessert every night. I have sweets every day. Ice cream. I just had like 3 chocolate chip cookies at a Kit Kat bar. I mean,
it's going to catch up to you eventually.
What if it doesn't, though?
What if I outrun this for the rest of my life? Like, you don't present as a big guy. You just said 300 pounds. Not to throw Hoff under the bus again, but there, I heard BT and Sal reference, and Sal's been referencing it a bunch about him revealing his weight to be over 300 pounds. He's a tall guy. Yeah. He doesn't really look like a 300-pounder.
I think I'm upper 190s. Okay. I'm high 190s. But again, I'm also missing the chromosome to grow muscles. So I'm just like, you know.
I'm just like, I just have no muscle
on me. It's just like sugar and like French fries and grilled chicken.
When's the last time you went to the gym and like lifted weights?
I'd rather not say.
All right. So it's not recent.
Not recent, but I do have a few weights in the apartment.
It was last week for me.
No, I do have a few weights in the apartment. I like to walk a lot. I'm a big walker.
Walking is big.
I'm a big walker.
Frank the Tank's been walking a lot. It's been helping him.
You're right. I like to walk, but my diet is absolutely abysmal.
Yeah, my diet is pretty solid, pretty good. I just need to hit the weights hard, maybe get some supplements, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm setting my sights on 2025, getting back into like football playing shape, being ripped, having a six-pack, not having any lower back pain, and like by the time we're at DJ's, for Memorial Day weekend. I'll be out there in a tank, and I'll be jacked up, and I'll be ripped, and I'll feel good about myself.
I'll be happy with a 2-pack, okay, or a 1-pack.
Hey, to each his own. It's
not to each its
there.
Own. It's being realistic. It ain't happening, man.
Everybody's got their own body type. Look at this. I go to Instagram 3 hours ago. Radio host called out by Jerry Seinfeld. Stands by Seinfeld criticism. It's got this guy going national. Paul Rosenberg, 44, on Instagram. Him side by side with Jerry Seinfeld. You are blowing up. This story is never going away now. This is an awesome. You got to frame this. You got to print this out.
You got to put
it on the wall in here.
I'm hoping. I got to find to see if I can find the Us magazine to see if it's if he made the
if
print.
If they printed it in the actual magazine.
A few people have told me to go look for. I can't find it yet. I got to find where they sell magazines.
We can't get anything anymore. Even like trying to find newspapers is impossible. You got to go like to the grocery store strictly. It's funny. I was in Mexico. That's one thing when I finally re-downloaded social media apps. I'm like, look at Paul. What happened? I'm like, all right, C-Mac filled in for me. And, you know, I had to get out of the way so that you and C-Mac could talk about Seinfeld. I've never watched an episode of Seinfeld. I've only watched the WFA. And there's a Yankee Seinfeld montage on YouTube. So I'm like, that wouldn't have ever happened with
right,
me
with
on
Costanza.
WFA.
Yeah. And again, it was a really throwaway comment of him. And it was a Tuesday. It was two Tuesday nights ago about the NBA in-season tournament courts, the very right. bright courts, and one of them was red, and it reminded him of the Seinfeld episode to which I responded. It's one of the few good ones they had.
That episode. I never watched an episode.
Next thing you know, 20 minutes later, Jerry calls in. They have a conversation for 15 minutes, and 3 days later, Us Magazine needs an exclusive with me.
Yeah, if Jerry's listening right now, I know he's not calling into my show. Off the record, I spoke to the schmooze about Jerry Seinfeld. I'll tell you during the break what we talked about. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Casamigos' big shot of the night coming up next.